This is Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight my guest is Eric Rosswood, writer, author, and activist. Eric's book, My Uncle's Wedding, came out this year to rave reviews, as well as him being featured and his lovely husband as a Disneyland wedding feature, and we're going to talk to him about that. Eric, say hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem. First of all, the wedding. I found out about that while I was just cruising around on Facebook or somewhere, and somebody sent me your wedding announcement in Disneyland. Tell us about the wonderful wedding.
Yeah, we got married in April, and Matt's British, so his whole family came over from the UK. We had our moms come down in Cinderella's coach, and, you know, we went up and did our vows at a gazebo that they have just outside the park, and it was actually a really good time. We even got featured on their blog, on
mm-hmm.
Disney's blog.
I think
I think that's what you're talking about, which got
right.
a lot of the buzz.
A lot of buzz, yes. And a big sign, it was a big sign that said you were getting that
Yeah, they put signs out to tell people that a wedding is happening to please be quiet if you're coming near the area. And we didn't really expect that there would be outside people coming to the event. But as soon as some of the park guests saw Cinderella's carriage, they all
uh-huh.
started following it because it was a big attraction. And they hung out from afar to watch our wedding. And we were a little bit nervous when we saw them, but after the event, you know, they were all cheering and clapping as well and came up and congratulated us. It was very interesting. It was a good day.
Great, great. So how long have you and your partner been together?
A little over 4 years.
Oh, okay, great. And your book, My Uncle's Wedding, how did that book come about? Is this your first book?
It is. I've done a lot of work with trying to repeal Proposition 8, and I've done a lot of work with Marriage Equality USA and the campaign against Prop 8 and things like that. And I was a bit frustrated with how the other side always used children for political gain. And it was always about, you know, protect the children.
Right.
And I just figured there wasn't really enough materials out there for talking about this topic with kids.
Right.
So I decided to write a book that kind of explained it. And there's a couple of things specific about the book that I don't think a lot of people realize is, one, it never says the word gay.
Mm-hmm.
And it never says same-sex marriage or gay wedding or anything. It's just, this is a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens to feature two guys getting married. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, that it's not really about a gay wedding. It's about marriage in general.
Right, right. I want to just add to the readers, to the listeners, excuse me. I have a grandson. I was married to a woman for a while, and I have a wonderful son and grandson, and my partner has a daughter who has a partner, and they have a baby, and my original copy that I got for this interview, I've already sent on to my grandson for reading, and I really think, and they love it, of course. The kids are all, they're straight but not narrow, and so they think it's a great idea. They think there's actually a lack of not only gay marriages, same-sex marriages, but even seeing handicapped people get married. Children don't see, they only see a white, and usually it's a white woman and a white man getting married in books or on television or on cartoons. There's not that many even interracial children's books. So you're really blazing a trail here with this book. What have some of the reactions been from it?
Well, thank you for all the good comments first.
Yeah.
I definitely agree about you don't really see anything with the disabled or handicap or anything like that. And I agree there is definitely a lack of knowledge in that area for children. The reaction for the book so far has been overwhelmingly positive. If you look on Amazon.com and pull up the book, you'll see that there are tons of reviews about the book, and all of them were pretty much 5 stars.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty great.
Yeah.
We've gotten lots of positive feedback from leaders of LGBT organizations. We got a review and a recommendation from Kate Kendall, who's
mm-hmm.
the director from National Center for Lesbian Rights, Molly McKay, who's with Marriage Equality USA.
Right.
The book even got a proclamation from California State Senator Mark Leno.
Yay.
I know.
I love that guy. I love that guy. We follow
yeah,
him.
He's great.
Yeah, we follow him out here even in Florida. Yeah, he's super. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, he was critical in getting SB 48, which I'm not sure if you guys sorry, not SB 48, the Fair Education Act.
Yes, of course. We really we've been very following that really closely for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, he was the one who helped write that and champion that, and it actually, my book launch came out shortly before that was passed. So it kind of coincided with that, and that's kind of why he came out there and gave a proclamation.
Right.
He was saying there aren't enough education tools for children, and this is a great one to start
right.
those kind of conversations with.
Exactly.
So I've been getting a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
A lot of good feedback.
So tell me about some of your work with marriage equality in California right now. What's going on?
What's going on right now?
Yeah.
Pretty much a lot of it is just sit and wait for the court case.
Right.
I'm actually a little bit bummed that, you know, you see Maine going back to the ballot, and you see, I think Oregon's going to start going to the ballot as
right.
well on a proactive measure, which I
Correct.
Think it's definitely the way we need to go when it comes to elections.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not for putting our rights up for popular vote, just
yeah.
so I can clear the air with that. But I do definitely think that we need to fight for our rights in every single way possible, whether
right.
it's locally, statewide, whether it's federal, whether it's going through a court case. I think we need to hit on all ends.
I agree.
And you know, while we're waiting for this court case, I don't think there's any issue with going back to the ballot.
No, I don't think
so
either.
But I think it's sit and wait and see right now. And I know people have gone on education mode.
Right.
And kind of telling stories and while we're waiting for the court case to happen.
Right, right. You might disagree with me when I'm about to say, because I it's just my personal belief. I think that marriage equality is coming, you know, that more you see the polls and more people are either for civil unions or same-sex marriage. Every year it seems the percentage seems to go up. And I don't know if that was fought really in the media or in the streets. I don't think it was won there. I think it was won in the water coolers, more people coming out. You know, my husband and I live in a high-rise building. There are not a lot of gay couples here. We've introduced ourselves to everybody. We're active on the condo board. I know we've changed a lot of people's minds on this, just living and talking and being out and open on every level, whether it's the grocery store, the back fences, you know, schools and things like that. And I really think that has slowly made it a little more comfortable for a lot of people to say, well, you know, I think this is okay. And, you know, I think that, but, you know, it's important to have the activism, and I think it's important to have the court cases. I think it's going to be won in the courts, actually. But I think the popular opinion, I think, is being swayed on a very grassroots level, one at a time. What do you think about that?
No, I definitely agree with you there. That's actually one of the reasons why I wanted to go back to the ballot in California in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
We had a really unique situation over here when everyone was talking about marriage equality when it was on for election, when it was on the ballot.
Right.
And as soon as we lost, the other side said, you lost, quit talking about it. It's not worth talking about anymore.
Right.
You lost, get over it, and, you know, come to terms with it. So having those conversations and those dialogues was a one-sided conversation because the other side already put it to rest,
right.
and they weren't open to dialogue. I was all for putting it back on the ballot. Even if we lost,
right.
it was a way to bring those conversations back, and
exactly.
it would kind of force people to talk about it again at the water coolers and at the jobs, like you were saying.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I definitely agree that that's the way you change hearts and minds is, you know, one person at a time through telling your personal story. And we actually, and my dad's best friend actually voted for Proposition 8. He voted
mm-hmm.
against marriage equality. And we invited him to the wedding. They were for civil unions and domestic partnerships, but they didn't understand the reason to have marriage.
Right, the legal reasons.
Yeah, and we invited them to our wedding, and the next morning, it was a destination wedding, so everyone stayed the night at a hotel.
Uh-huh.
And the next morning, everyone broke off into groups to have breakfast together and meet up before they left. And he actually told my dad that he changed his mind and said, "No, I was wrong." And he went back to his work and was telling everyone, "You know, I've been to this wedding and I've seen what it's like, and you know, I'm wrong. And if it comes up next time, I'm definitely voting in favor of it."
Right. Yeah. I had the same exact experience. My partner and I come from a black hat Hasidic Orthodox family, Orthodox Jewish family. And the first time it became available, I introduced him to my family with a lot of trepidation because of their very strict beliefs. And I would say about 50% of them over the last, we've been together 9 years, about 50% of the last 9 years have pulled me aside and said the exact same thing, that seeing us together and seeing the love and commitment and normalcy, I think they don't realize that there's love. I really believe that they believe that we're just about men having sex with men. And
right.
The word homosexual is always used by the other side, never gay or same sex. It's always the word, you know, homosexual, which connotes, you know, bathroom sex and perversions and things like that. So I think it really has a, you know, the image out there, and your book, you know, is it, you know, Borders, and it, well, not Borders anymore, Barnes & Noble, it's available. I know, I did that the other day to someone, too. I saw it at Books A Million in D.C. I was in D.C. last week, and I looked for your book, and it's at Books A Million, so right in DuPont Circle, so it's available.
Awesome.
There. Yeah, it's right there. But, you know, I think that if we can get the word out, I think straight people need to have this book for a lot of reasons, you know, so that their own children, straight people who are already for marriage equality, should have this book for their kids, because it answers a lot of questions, because, as you said, it's just two people getting married and doing the normal, sometimes boring, sometimes exciting things you have to do to get married.
Right. And, you know, if parents are uncomfortable talking about the topic with their kids and they don't know how to bring it up and they're nervous about the questions, it's a great way to start that dialogue, because the children will actually see the marriage happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it goes on and it talks about it just like everyone else's marriage. A marriage is a marriage. And if the kid has a question, they'll ask.
Right.
So,
the
parent doesn't have to go and say, "Now, you know, this is something where two men or two women are getting married, and it's different because this, or it's the same because this." Just
right.
Give them the information, and,
right.
You know, they're smart.
They're smart.
They
figured it out. Right, right. Yeah, they see it. And, you know, my grandson's only two, but he's got names for each of us that we kind of chose, and he kind of chose for us. And, you know, he's just going to have five grandparents. That's it. You know, some people just get four. He gets five. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that's all he cares about, you know, that he gets another person to love him. So, yeah, kids are all the same. And we actually had I actually had April Claxton. Are you familiar with her? She's a writer. Her book, Good Night, Just the Same. It's pretty new.
I'm not, no.
She has redone Goodnight Moon to same-sex couples.
Really?
Yeah. It's called Goodnight Just the Same. And it just came out very recently. She did a book reading. She's from Fort Lauderdale. So she was at the Stonewall Library to do a reading. And we had it in the afternoon. We invited people to bring their children. And I made cookies. And we had a great time, and her daughter, her 9-year-old daughter, read the book, and it's a cute book. But it's, I guess, Goodnight Moon has been around so long, it's almost public domain. So I think it's 60 or 70 years old. So she was able to kind of copy it a little bit, but also have the parents, a same-sex couple saying goodnight to them. So it's kind of it, and just that's all it is. That's all it is. There's no, you know, there's no gay. There's no same-sex. It's just that. There just happens to be, you know, two mommies that are saying goodnight, so it's kind of fun.
That's great. I'll definitely look it up.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that's I think that's definitely the way we need to talk about it. I don't think we need to make it an issue. I don't think we need to talk about, you know, this is. I mean, we can talk about differences and similarities, but like you were saying before, the word homosexual is often used to describe us, and that has the word sex in it.
Right.
Same-sex marriage has the word sex in it, and it just seems like when opposition talks about us, the sex is the first thing they talk about,
right.
Which is why I try to use the word marriage equality instead of same-sex marriage.
Uh-huh.
And I think that if we start using words that don't talk about sex, and if we try to show how we are part of people's lives without talking about sex, I think we'll change the dialogue.
Right.
And just like you said, throwing in a couple that happens to be the same gender at the end of the book is a great way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Two people getting married that are the same gender without talking about, you know, the differences and
right.
similarities is a great way to do it. And, you know, there are kids that have same-sex parents and they're going to school and they're not seeing anything that relates to their family, that, you
right.
know, where they can see themselves in that situation.
Right.
And there aren't a lot of kids that have same-gender parents in, like, one specific school, but there may be a lot of kids that know one person that
right.
does.
Mm-hmm.
So it does kind of touch a lot more people than we actually think about.
Probably, yes. Yeah, and as I said, every time somebody has the book, they talk to two or three people about it, and it gets them, even if they don't buy the book, which of course you want them to do, it does start a conversation. You know, they see it laying around and things like that. You know, my grandson's babysitter sees it. His cousins who live in the same city see it. So it's just kind of it's a normalcy. It's a normalcy. I think that's what I'm trying to get at with, you know, having a book like this is just like having a book on Tommy the Train or something.
Right. And guess what? It would be great if everyone could go out and buy the book.
I said that. It's available on Amazon.com. I just pulled up the website, and and you're right. There's some great reviews, including Del Shores. I just read Del Shores.
Yes, Del Shores.
Yes.
I'm also, I don't necessarily want everyone to go out and buy it, but definitely
yes,
go out and
do.
Read it.
Yes, we do want
I've
to
tried to
buy
give
it.
A bunch of copies to local libraries in the area. I've teamed up with an activist in Tennessee who was trying to fight the Don't Say Gay bill, where
right.
they were trying to make it illegal to say gay in schools.
Uh-huh.
So we've been working to donate a whole bunch of copies to libraries
uh-huh.
in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So if kids couldn't hear anything about it or get the education that they needed in schools,
uh-huh.
the diversity education, they could go and get it at libraries.
Right. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
We've actually started a campaign, you know, even if you don't have anyone to get the book for, consider donating a copy to a local school library because it's a
right.
great way for kids to get that education.
Yeah, well, I'm with the Stonewall Library and Archives down here. It just added museum to the title. And we discovered a way when we get extra copies of children's books, which we do, we get donations all the time. It's hard to get into the public school libraries, but it turns out that there's a fluke with charter schools. Many of the charter schools are located very close to public libraries, and they use the public library as their school library. So you might want to look into that in Tennessee, and then flood the public libraries, because you know the public libraries are a lot more liberal than the actual school libraries where the kids check out their own books. But we found out that here in Florida, the charter schools use the public library system as their school library, which is a neat way of getting more diverse material in front of the kids. Yeah, especially the teenage kids. We work with some of the high school kids and using a young adult. The big explosion in gay books, I guess I know a lot about gay books because I was the board chair of the Stonewall Library, America's largest gay and lesbian library located in Fort Lauderdale. The big explosion now is young adult gay books.
Wow.
Yeah. That's.
I had no idea about the public schools or the public libraries and
charter schools.
The libraries for the charter schools. Yeah,
yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. Find out if that's the case in Tennessee, because we're in the South, too. Florida's pretty backwards. So if it's the case there, it's the cheapest way for the charter school to have enough books to get accredited without having to. Because because the charter schools kind of start on a shoestring, and then they get tax money, but they don't want to spend it. Some of them actually are profit making. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I did know that, actually.
Right. So to make the profit, they team up with the public library. Well, the public library welcomes them with open arms because nobody's going to the public library to check books out anymore. They're just going there to use the internet to look for jobs.
Exactly.
And play on the computer. So if you look at a public library right now, that you know they're very open to the charter thing. And as I said, the American Library Association has a wonderful GLBT list of books. So I want all the listeners out there to go to ALA.org/ LGBT roundtable. I think that's what's called, LGBT roundtable. Okay, let's go back and talk about your wedding and your. Do you have any nieces and nephews? Is that how this book came about?
Matt has two nephews, which uh-huh. are now my nephews as well, uh-huh. and they're both young. One's 2 and one's 5, and then my nephews are all grown up. Uh-huh. One's 23 and one's 18.
Wow. Well, yeah. So, what do they think? Were they at the wedding?
The whole family was at the wedding.
Oh my God! How did the kids react? Were they like, just like amazed that you had a Disneyland wedding?
Well, you know, we wanted to have the wedding at a place where it was a destination wedding, because Matt's family was flying over from the UK,
uh-huh.
and if you're going to fly all that way, you're
right.
not just going to come for the wedding and then fly all the way back.
Right.
So we thought Disneyland would be a great way for people to come to our event and turn it into a kind of trip, and they could stay there or,
sure,
you know,
sure.
tour up and down California. And about a month or two prior to the wedding, we found out that Matt's nephew on his side was watching a football match, and when one of the team made a goal, they got all excited, and one of the players kissed another player.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys kissed another guy. And the 5-year-old shouted, "Ew, gross."
Oh, my God. Good start.
Yeah, to give him credit, I mean, you're
yeah.
at that age where
right.
where everyone has cooties, so
right.
you probably would have yelled, "Ew, gross," if it was a guy and a girl.
Right. That happened.
But it got us thinking, you know, what if we're getting married and they pronounce us, you know, husbands,
mm-hmm.
and it's time to kiss, and we kiss, and this little voice in the background goes, "Ew, gross." It would have changed the whole mood.
It would have. Yes, that's funny. Kids,
so,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, they knew they were coming. They knew about me. They knew about Matt.
Right.
But we didn't know if they necessarily, like, understood the whole concept.
Uh-huh.
So we did send them a copy of the book beforehand, and Matt's sister read it to him, and
uh-huh.
he liked it so much he wanted to be the ring bearer in,
oh,
our,
wow.
in our wedding.
Oh, that's cute, because I remember that in the book. Oh, my God, that's so wonderful. That's great. Oh, my God, that's a super idea. So when I started this, you were Eric Ross, and now you're Eric Rosswood. What made
yes.
you do that?
So that's a good thing to point out. So the book is listed as the author being Eric Ross, because I wrote the book before we got married.
I wanted to make sure.
Matt's last name used to be Wood, and we combined the two names. They're not hyphenated. They're one word. And we did that for a couple of reasons. One, we wanted to kind of follow the tradition, but kind of make our own as well. But also, if you think about it, if one of us went to the hospital, and if there was ever an issue
mm-hmm.
with the people at the hospital saying we're not family, it's just so much easier to say we're related if we have the same last name.
Right.
So
right.
If,
that's true.
If somebody wants to be a jerk about it, we, you know,
right.
Here's plan B, and you can argue all you want, but we have the same last name and we're family, so.
That's great. That's great. We thought of doing that, but my name's Clarfeld and my partner's name is Lawless, and we couldn't figure out a way to squish them together, so that was the end of that. So, but we do have, and I can be open about this because my partner and I used to write a column in the local paper, so the whole world knows about this. His daughter's a lesbian, and she and her partner have been together 15 years, and they just chose a different last name. They chose a new one. They decided to make a new family, and they both have the same last name. But everyone thinks they're sisters, so.
So you know that,
go ahead.
I think that's great, and it's something that, like, I know a lot of gay couples who got married, and they kept their same last names.
Right.
As the names before they got married, they didn't change them.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think that, you know, we should look into changing our names to have the same name, just in case, you know, you do
right.
live in an area where
right.
they're homophobic, or you travel to an area where they're homophobic,
right.
It would just be easier to prove your family.
Right.
I mean, teach their own, you can do whatever you want, but I definitely
right.
think it's a way to help get rid of some of those issues.
No, I agree with you. I think that's it's a safe way to do that. But let me just tell you a funny side note. I live in Broward County, which was one of the first counties in the United States to have domestic partnership, even though we're in the heart of the South in Florida. And I know it's because of the strangeness of I believe it was 1999 or 1998 when they had full domestic partnership in Broward County. And when you go get your domestic partnership, which is as romantic as getting a fishing license, they just stamp a bunch of papers. The woman doesn't even look up. Yeah, there you are, you're the partners. They mail you. You pay a fee or something. And then in the mail, you get laminated cards with both your names on it.
It's like a membership card, huh?
Yes, I have, and it says it's the seal of Broward County, and it's signed by the county, by the whoever the deputy commissioner is, and it's like a little miniature, and it's a little miniature marriage license kind of, and it's laminated like a credit card, we talked earlier. I've been ill, and so I had an emergency surgery in West Palm Beach in another county, and my partner, I was in intense pain. My partner pulls that out. And Palm Beach County just passed domestic partnership, and the woman there said, "Oh, okay, it's cool. Don't worry about it." So this little card kind of helped, but it's an official looking card. I was so amazed about it. But I think the name change is easier. We were talking about a name change once because we're not tied to our last names, and my parents are gone, and so there wasn't anything like that. But my son and daughter in law, they have different names. But my grandson's name is my son's last name, and now my daughter-in-law is saying, you know, this wasn't that good an idea, 7 years ago when I kept my name, because now there's all this confusion about, you know, when she picks him up at preschool or he's in a crowd, they call her, you know, Mrs. Clarfeld instead of her maiden name, which is her real name. So you're right, there is confusion even in the straight world when you don't change your name.
Yeah, and who wants to bring a copy of their marriage certificate or domestic
right.
partnership or power of attorney everywhere they go? And
right.
if you have the ID,
right.
which is something you carry with you at
right.
all times anyway when you're driving or whatever,
right.
then it's just easier to carry that one documentation.
Right, right, right. We kind of got off the subject of my uncle's wedding, but that's okay.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, a little. Yeah, I told you this was going to be a fast half hour. We're almost done. Okay, what are you working on now? Besides working at Marriage Equality, what's your next book going to be about?
Yeah, I'm always working on all kinds of issues. I actually have a couple ideas for another book. It's just whether or not I have the time,
uh-huh.
and that'll determine when it comes out. But I'm also I joined the San Francisco Pride Board this year, so I've
uh-huh.
been working with Pride and marriage equality. And
oh my goodness.
You know, I have so many things going on with LGBT equality.
Right. And for listeners that have never gotten into the actual mechanics of just not writing the book but getting the book published, it's a full-time job plus two. It's very, very time-consuming. Even no matter how long the book is or short the book is, it is a huge undertaking to get a book published. I'm not going through this.
It is.
Yeah.
You have to write and edit and find the illustrator and find the publisher and do all the marketing. And
right.
You're right. There's a lot involved in it that
right.
I honestly didn't realize beforehand.
Right. You write this book and you think it's going to be like Harry Potter. You know, people will just line up to buy it. But then you get a publisher. They publish the book and then they throw it in your lap. Here, you sell it.
I actually went and self-published mine.
Oh, you're self-published. Okay.
I did. I tried sending the things to regular publishers, and no one was picking it up.
Uh-huh.
And from what I've heard, the major publishers, they don't really take chances on new authors anymore.
No.
Because the publishing industry is not doing as well as it used to
right.
because of the internet.
Right.
So I was told that basically you can either wait a few years after you send the script, or you could do the success on your own and then try to get picked up by a publisher later once
right.
you know that, you know, you're marketable.
Right.
And I didn't want to wait for a few years because marriage equality is a timely issue.
Correct. No, I agree. You did the right thing. You did the right thing. Because many even established authors have gone away from their agents and publishers and have gone to self-publishing now.
Yeah, and I thought it was actually great. You just have to, if anyone out there is interested in self-publishing a book, you just have to do a lot of legwork on your own.
Right.
That's all.
It's more than a full-time job. Eric, we're at the end of 30 minutes. I can't believe it just flew by. Any last words?
Just that the website for the book is myunclesweddingcom, and it's also available on Amazon.com if you're interested as well.
Right, Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. I just pulled all of them up. You're on all three, so somebody picked
awesome.
It up. Yes, great. Thank you, Eric, and have a wonderful day out there in California.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
Good night.
Good night.